Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." The song they were singing there mentions the fact that if you're saved, if you're a child of God, there is now, therefore now, no condemnation. Because it's under the blood. That's the beautiful thing about blood. It's all about the blood, folks. And if you've been washed in the blood, there is now no condemnation. None. Been forgiven. That's a blessing. Praise God for that truth. We'd be all in trouble without that, wouldn't we? Okay, let's go to John chapter 1. This is where we'll be this morning, John chapter 1. And I need you to find John chapter 1 and John chapter 3. I'm going to read a couple, just two verses in John chapter 1. And then we're going to read a few verses in John chapter 3. When you found your place, if you're able, we'll stand in reverence to the word of the Lord as we read it this morning. John chapter 1, we're going to read verse 12 and 13. And then we're going to read John chapter 3, verse 1 through 12. So John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." I want you to notice there in verse 12, it says there that he gave power to them to become the sons of God. Those that received Jesus, and you see that word "receive" there in verse 12, "but as many as received him." That's why personally I like that word "received" rather than "accept," because it's a biblical term. We're not told to accept Jesus, we're told to receive Jesus. But as many as received him, if you receive Jesus, he's going to give you power to become the Son of God. And without God giving you the power to become the Son of God, you couldn't become the Son of God. And how do you receive this? How do you receive Jesus? Well, even to them that believe on his name. We receive Jesus by faith. And if we receive him by faith, he gives us the power to become the Son of God. And we see there in verse 13, "which were born." Notice the first three words and the first two words in the verse, "which were born of God." Not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. My question to you this morning is, have you been born of God? Okay? Have you been born of God? Okay, let's go to chapter 3 and verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. My Lord, we ask your blessing on the scripture reading this morning. I pray you'd help us now. Please help me and help the dear folks that sit before me. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would have free course to minister to each and every soul as the Holy Spirit sees fit. And we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We looked at John chapter 1, and I asked you the question, have you been born of God? We come over here to chapter 3, and we read a couple of times here in this reading that it's said there time and time again that except a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And it says in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Each and every one of us must be born of God. We must be born again. Now, what we're doing is, do you remember here a few Sunday nights ago, we looked at the ministry of the Holy Spirit in regeneration. And we spoke about, in that message, we looked at the study of the fact that the Holy Spirit has an inviting ministry. The Holy Ghost of God has to invite you to Jesus before you ever come to Jesus. What I mean by that is, where there is no conviction of sin, there will be no true conversion. It's the work of the Holy Ghost to stir you up and make you uncomfortable and discontent in your sin before you'll ever look to the cross. And we use the term conviction, and we looked in John chapter 16, and we looked there at the word reproof. But then we went all the way back to Genesis, and we looked there at the work of the Holy Ghost in creation, how the Holy Spirit moved, and as he moved there in creation, life was born. And we looked at the illustration in Deuteronomy of the eagle stirring up the eaglet in the nest. Do you remember that? And we made the comment that unless the mother eagle makes the nest uncomfortable and stirs the nest, the eaglet will become nest bound and never will fly. And remember, she takes the feathers out and she puts some sharp things in, and then that eaglet's doing this and gets uncomfortable in that comfy place of the nest. And what it is, that picture is that just as the mother eagle stirs the eaglet in the nest and convinces that eaglet to get out of the nest and fly, so that same work of the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit will stir you and make you uncomfortable in your sin, will convince you that you are a sinner, will convince you that you do stand condemned before a holy God, and will convince you, reprove you, that the only righteousness available to you is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the work of the inviting ministry of the Holy Spirit. But this morning we want to look at the invigorating ministry of the Holy Spirit in regeneration. And what do I mean by that? Well, the Holy Spirit invites, but then also, as that soul responds to the stirring and convicting of the Holy Spirit then invigorates the soul. And that word invigorate means to give vigor. Go figure. Right? It means to strengthen, it means to animate, it means to give life and energy to. And the fact is, unless the Holy Ghost of God invigorates your soul is dead in trespasses and in sins. It takes the Holy Ghost to invigorate you spiritually, and it's only He can do it. And it's done at that time of regeneration. It's done at that time of the new birth. Now, notice with me, point number one, let's have a look at our first natural birth. Have a look in John chapter 3. Now, as you're having a look in John chapter 3, I want you to notice verse 4 through verse 6. Let me make this statement as you go in there and make a note of that. Man is made up of three parts. Man is made up of soul, body, and mind. Right? Just as God is made up of God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Ghost, you're made up of three parts as well, because you're made in the likeness of God. You have a soul, you have a body, and you have a mind. Now your soul needs to be redeemed. And your soul is the only part that gets redeemed. Your body doesn't get redeemed and your mind doesn't get redeemed, but your soul gets redeemed. Your soul gets regenerated. It's your soul that has to be born again, right? Our body needs to be resurrected. And it will be. If our soul's been redeemed, our body will be resurrected, right? First resurrection. But our mind isn't going to be redeemed. Our mind isn't going to be resurrected, but our mind does need to be renewed. And remember, we're told that our mind needs to be continually renewed. The renewing of our mind. My soul is redeemed because I've been born again. My body is lost and always will be, but will be resurrected one day. But my mind must be renewed each and every day. So there's our three parts. And the part we're focusing on this morning of you is your soul. Not your body, not your mind, but your soul. Your soul must be born again. Not intellectually, not physically, but spiritually. A birth must take place. So let's have a look at our first natural birth. John chapter 3 and verse 4. Now, in verse 3, Jesus said that he must be born again. Otherwise, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, he saith unto him, he's thinking naturally, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, we look at that and we kind of scoff and we roll our eyes at Nicodemus and what a comment. He didn't have the scriptures. He didn't have the New Testament. And he was just thinking naturally. I'm old. I'm a member of the Sanhedrin. I'm a religious man. I'm a good man. And he's telling me I have to get back in my mother's womb. How in the world does that even happen? See, he's thinking naturally. And that's what happens when you start speaking to someone about their soul and you're witnessing to them. Unless the Holy Ghost of God opens their eyes, they're just receiving everything naturally. And it takes the Holy Spirit of God to turn on the spiritual light and for them to understand some things spiritually. Notice Jesus' response in verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Notice it says there in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Notice in verse 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. That's speaking of the two births. In verse 5, except a man be born of water, that's the natural birth. And of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You've got to be born physically. You know what happens when you're born physically? Your mother's water breaks. You're born of the water. You're born a natural birth. Well, I think it could mean something else. Well, it possibly could, but let's just stay in context. Let's just keep it in verse 7, because then in verse 7 he refers to it here. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of water is the flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. There's two births. There's the natural birth of the water, but then there's the spiritual birth of the soul. And he's saying to Nicodemus, yes, you've been born once, and that was that birth of the water. But what you need to understand is you don't just need a natural birth to get into heaven. You need a spiritual birth to get into heaven. You must be born of a spirit. Now, why is this so important? Well, the fact is, go with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, fact is, we're all born spiritually lifeless. We're all dead spiritually. Now, see, because you're alive physically from that first birth. You're sitting here this morning. You've been born of a woman. Even though we're in 2019, no one is born of a man. That's a load of rubbish. The only one that can bring forth a child is a woman. And care how they dress or how they refer to themselves, they're a woman. They've got a womb, they're a woman. So if we're sitting here this morning, we've all been born of the flesh. We've all been born physically. But the problem with that first birth that you experience is it's corrupt. It's a corrupt birth. It's not a righteous birth. It's a sinful birth. And notice it with me in Ephesians chapter 2. And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Notice verse 5, for the sake of time, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. The fact is that first birth that you experienced, you were born physically, but you were born dead in trespasses and in sins. And you must be quickened spiritually. And he's saying here to the church at Ephesus, you were dead in trespasses and sins, but you've been quickened. You've been made alive spiritually because you've experienced the second birth. Until you experience that second birth, until you've been born again, it doesn't matter how righteous you are or how religious you are. Just like Nicodemus was, he was still dead in trespasses and in sin, and he needed to be born again. Because that fleshly birth will not get you into heaven. It takes a spiritual birth. It takes a second birth. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. The fact is, that first natural birth is a birth that's full of... It's not full. It's empty. Of spiritual life. It's completely and utterly void of spiritual life. Yes, you're alive physically, but spiritually, you're dead. Your body is alive, but your soul has not been regenerated. And it must be. There's, without exception, he said, ye must be born again. Without exception, you must be born spiritually. You must be regenerated if you're going to see the kingdom of God. Not only is that first birth spiritually lifeless and dead spiritually, but I want you to notice that that birth is also, I want you to notice also that we're sinners by birth and by behavior. Notice verse 2 in Ephesians chapter 2, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Notice, in those couple of verses, particularly verse 2 and verse 3, we're not only dead spiritually, but we're sinners by birth and by behavior. When your mother gave birth to you and you came into this world, You were alive physically, but spiritually you were dead. And that manifested itself in your behavior. I never did have to teach Mackenzie. You know, when she was born, and Kaylee the same, we won't be respecters of persons. When they were born, I didn't have to teach them to scream like a stuck pig just because they weren't getting their way. They'd been fed. They'd had a nappy change. They'd had a cuddle. They'd had a kiss. They'd been laughing and smiling. And somehow the moment you lay them down, they scream and they cry. And they, you know, they get the blotches all over their face and they start snubbing and you pick them up and they grin at you. 2 o'clock in the morning. Hey. Oh, they're just being babies. That's just their sin nature expressing itself. Now, we didn't smack them at newborns, obviously, but you better start dealing with it early. It starts expressing itself early. But I didn't have to teach my girls to lie. My dad didn't have to teach me to lie. I was just a liar. Because of that first birth, that first natural birth, that was just a part of my behavior. And that was part of your behavior as well. No man had to get alongside me and teach me how to lust after a woman. How about you fellas? Did you have to go through a lesson for that? No. No, we didn't need a lesson for that. That's just our nature. Our fallen nature. Right? We don't have to be trained in those areas. It's just natural. Because we're sinners by birth and by behavior. That first birth is full of corruption. Job said in 15 and verse 14, "What is man that he should be clean, and he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous?" Job 25 and verse 4, "How then can man be justified with God? How can he be clean that is born of a woman?" Ecclesiastes 7:20 makes it very plain, "There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Romans 3 and verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And we can go on and on and on. That first birth is full of corruption. And that first birth, Nicodemus, won't get you to heaven. And that first birth of you and of mine will not get us to heaven. Because it's just a fleshly birth. We must be born again. Let's have a look at the second birth this morning. So go back with me to the book of John, chapter 3. The first birth. That first birth will only take you to hell. It's the only place it'll take you. It'll take you to sin. It'll take you to sadness. It'll take you to corruption. It'll take you to heartache. It'll take you to disappointment. You must be born again. You must be. The second birth is a spiritual birth. Notice verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Notice verse 5 through verse 8. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Do you notice that there in verse 3 it says you cannot see the kingdom of God? In verse 5 it progresses, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." You must be born again. There must be a second birth. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're young. It doesn't matter if you're old. It doesn't matter if you're rich. It doesn't matter if you're poor. It doesn't matter if you're a heathen. It doesn't matter if you're religious. You must be born again. It doesn't matter who your parents are. You must be born again. It's absolutely essential. If you're going to escape hell, the only way to escape, because that first birth, you're headed to hell. The only way to get off that broad way that leads to destruction, the only exit is you must be born again. You're traveling down the M1 to Brisbane and you want to get to Bribie. There's really only one way to Bribie off of the M1, and that's you've got to take the exit. If you take the exit before it, you're going to get to Donnybrook and you won't get to Bribie Island. You'll be disappointed. Not much at Donnybrook. Right? If you want to escape hell and you want to see heaven and you want to enter into heaven, you must take the right exit. And the right exit is you must be born again. There must be a spiritual regeneration take place in your life. If it hasn't, you're not going to heaven. It's that simple. You must be born again. Jesus didn't mince any words with Nicodemus. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness as we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." That's in Titus 3 and verse 5. There's two terms mentioned in Titus 3 and verse 5. There's the first term is the washing of regeneration. That regeneration is speaking of a rebirth, a spiritual renovation, the entering into a new spiritual life, the act of becoming or being made a Christian. That change by which holy affections and purposes are substituted for the opposite motives in the heart. A washing of regeneration. When I was saved in May of 2000 out in the Arcadia Valley, there was an awful lot took place that I didn't know of. But one thing that happened when I turned to Jesus and received him as my Lord and Savior is the Holy Ghost moved in and did a washing of regeneration. He went in there and renewed my soul. And I got saved about 11 o'clock at night. You know, I woke up the next morning and my affections had changed. My outlook on life had changed. My desires had changed. I didn't have to strain at that. I didn't have to make it happen. It just happened. Because the Holy Ghost moved in and took the holy scrubbing brush and did some washing in my soul and changed the affections and the desires that I had as an individual. And all of a sudden, this great battle started. Anyone else experience that? I lived for 22 years in complete peace in my sin. But the moment the Holy Ghost moved in, all of a sudden I couldn't enjoy my sin anymore. I'd start to get involved in something or start thinking about something, and the Holy Spirit would say, "Hey," I'd be like, "What's that?" New experience, wasn't it? It's not something that you work up. It's not something that you work out. It just happens naturally by that second birth. Just as you naturally produce vile sin by your first birth, you naturally produce those spiritual pleasant things from that second birth. A washing of regeneration. I'm asking you, have you been born of God? Can you look back down through the calendar of your life and say, that's where the Holy Ghost of God scrubbed my soul clean? That's where the renewing took place. That's where he moved in and renovated my affections and my desires. That's the work of the Holy Ghost in regeneration. That's part of the work of the Holy Ghost in his invigorating of a soul. It's a washing of regeneration. But notice there in Titus 3:4, it also says, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That word renewing means to be made new again. It means to be repaired, revived, to restore to freshness, to vigor, to give new life, to recreate, and to rebuild. When God saves you, a new creature is created. He regenerates your soul. And all of a sudden, there is a new spiritual creator, a new spiritual creature birthed within you. You were dead spiritually, but now you're alive spiritually. Once your soul was lost, but now it's found. Once your soul was blind, but now it sees. Because there's been a washing of regeneration, and there's been a renewing of the Holy Ghost. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. You know, that's a very good picture of what happens. That's what happens when God created man. He created man out of the dust of the ground, and he created man, and they were just lifeless on the ground. Maybe it was on an operating table. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe he had some palm leaves laid down there. I don't know. But God created man, and man was lifeless. It was just a lifeless form made out of dirt. But it took God breathing into man before man became a living soul. And you're dead spiritually, you're dead and lifeless until the Holy Ghost breathes on you anew and you become a living soul spiritually. It takes a breath from eternity to create a living soul. You don't get saved because you back God in a corner and prayed some prayer and he's forced to save you. But if you meet the prerequisites for salvation, you identify yourself as a lost sinner. You identify Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God slain and shed his blood for your sin, and that your only righteousness that can be found for you is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you repent of your sin and place your faith in the Lord Jesus, God himself will breathe from heaven and birth you anew. It's a miracle of God when a soul was saved. It's not just a decision. Salvation isn't just someone making a decision to accept Jesus into their heart. It's not even a biblical term. Salvation, regeneration, is God breathing on you and birthing you anew. It's a miracle. You know, the physical birth's a miracle, isn't it? It's incredible. You get your head around that. How does that happen? Think about it. An egg, a sperm, a baby, legs, eyelashes, eyeballs, toes. It's a miracle. Don't water down the new birth. It's a miracle. It's not just being religious, evidently, because Nicodemus was more religious than you could ever dream of being. And he had to be born again. We need to be born of the Spirit. The Scriptures also tell us we need to be born again of the Word. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Folks, we need to be born again of the Spirit. We need to be born again of the Word of God. Let me tell you what John Gill said in regards to this, in regards to regeneration. The cause being the Holy Spirit of God, the means being the Holy Word of God. The point is this, you cannot get regenerated without the Word of God. But you also can't get regenerated just with the Word of God without the Holy Spirit of God. You can't get regenerated just with the Holy Spirit of God. It takes a combination of the Holy Spirit of God and the Holy Word of God. It takes the Holy Spirit of God, taking the Holy Word of God and applying it to an individual's heart and life and soul. It's a combination of the two, being born again. So John chapter 1, and where we read in verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. In the book of 1 John, 5 times the term born of God is mentioned. You will not get to heaven unless you've been born of God. You must be born again. It's essential. You know, we're told, go with me, take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Something that happens when we are born again is there's a new creature created. I mentioned that to you. But let me bring this out in Scripture rather than just mentioning it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. We're looking at the work of the Holy Ghost of God in invigorating a soul. 2 Corinthians. Did I say 1 Corinthians? Well, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians will be better. Probably make a little more sense. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14 through 17. Let's read this together. I want you to see it. It's in relation to the fact that when God births you anew, a new creature is made. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge. If one died for all, then we're all dead. Who's the one that died? That was Jesus Christ. Who did he die for? He died for all. Why did he die for all? Because all were dead. Verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now, if you've been saved, you young men, you listen to me. If you're saved, God didn't save you so then you could go live a life however you please. God saved you. That verse tells me that God saved you that you'd live for him. And that goes for every one of us. I'm just picking on the boys. It goes for every one of us. He didn't save you so you could just live however you want to live. Verse 15 says, and that he died for all. He died for you. That they which live spiritually, those that have been born again, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. That ought to be why you get up every day, to live for Jesus. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. We did know him after the flesh. We saw him in the flesh. But now he's gone. We don't know him after the flesh anymore. We did, but not anymore. But notice this verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. See, that's what happened when the Lord saved you. He created a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new, and there's new desires, there's new affections, there's new dreams, there's new visions, there's a new purpose to living because you've been born again. It's a new creature. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15 puts it this way. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. It doesn't matter whether you've been circumcised or not circumcised. Doesn't matter if you're religious or you're not religious. Doesn't matter if you fulfill all the religious laws or you don't fulfill all the religious Judaistic laws. It makes no difference. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. It doesn't matter if you've been baptized or not been baptized. That's a religious ritual. It's a good religious ritual. It's a good religious ordinance that ought to be followed. But a baptism isn't going to get you to heaven. A new creature is what's going to avail. That's what's going to get you there. A new creature. Is there a new creature in you? Have you been born again? One John chapter 3 and verse 1, perhaps one of my most favourite verses in the scripture. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. You can meditate on this all day long. Only got two verses to go, folks, and we're finished this morning. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Are you there? Behold. That means stop. That doesn't mean just keep reading. Behold, that means stop and pay attention. That means wake up out of your slumber. Behold, that's what behold means. It means stop and pay close attention. Behold, behold what? Pay close attention to what? Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. That we, you, of all people, you. Me, of all people, me. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What manner of love? Oh, we really don't even understand what love is. But if you just stop and meditate on that for a while, and you just behold it. That's what that verse is telling you to do. That verse is telling you to behold what manner of love it is. That means take it in your hands and look at it really closely. Like when you take a newborn baby and you're either marveling at how ugly that thing is or how beautiful it is, but you're beholding it. They're either ugly or they're beautiful. One, there's no middle grounds when it comes to a newborn. And there have been plenty of ugly ones. Thank the Lord they grow out of it eventually. But you're beholding that newborn baby and you're studying it. You're looking at it. Incredible. That's what that verse is telling you to do. Take a hold of the love. Stop and look at the love of God that He's bestowed on you. He's placed the love of God on you that you should be called the sons of God. It's a marvel. It's a miracle. It's a marvel that God had saved someone like you. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. 1 Peter chapter 1. Go there. You're close by here if you're in 1 John. We're coming down to the end. I'm asking you the question. And I'm trying to do it the best of my ability that I can this morning. Have you been born of God? I'm not asking you been born of a woman. I know that answer. My question is, have you been born of God? Have you been born again? Is there any evidence in your life to suggest that you've experienced a breath from heaven and that God, the Holy Ghost, breathed new life into you? And there's a new creature now abiding in you. And there's now this battle going on in you. Because you've been born again. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through verse 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. See that term? Begotten us again. Has the same idea of being born again. Which according to his abundant mercy, and that's the only reason, there's no justifiable reason for you to be born again apart from the abundant mercies of God. Unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and it fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept. See, this is where we go, we look at the, this is where we're looking. You can't get much of a better scripture for the grounds of eternal security. If you've been begotten again by the abundant mercy of God, if you've been saved, notice verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You don't keep your salvation. Your salvation is kept by the power of God himself. Oh, that's good. I'm saved by the power of God. I'm born again by the power of God. But my salvation is kept by that same power. I can't lose my salvation if I want to, but I don't want to. Saved, forever saved. Kept by the power of God. It's wonderful, because sometimes I don't feel saved. I don't. But sometimes I get up in the morning and I feel a million miles from being a Christian. But I better not rest in my feelings. Better come back to the facts of Scripture. And better come back to the promises of God. It's not based on my feelings. Feelings come and feelings go. And I wish I could remember the rest of it. What is the rest? Does anyone know the rest of that? Feelings come. Leanne? Okay, say that again from the top, nice and loud.
Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God. None else is worth believing.
Amen. There's my warrant. The authority for my salvation. The warranty is in the word of God. Naught else is worth believing. You better put your feelings in a bin, folks. Go back to the facts of God. If you've been saved, you're saved. But if you're not saved, it's because you haven't been born again, that you haven't had the Holy Ghost go in and do a washing of regeneration in your soul. You're lost and you're headed to hell. And Jesus said that today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not when you finish school. Not once you've had a bit of fun out in the world. Not once you live your life. Not once you get to do what you want to do. He said today. And I'm just going to go back really quickly to that invitation of the Holy Spirit. That inviting work. That convicting work. And if the Holy Spirit is drawing you today and pleading with you and saying you must be born again. You must be born again. Here's what you need to do. You need to throw down your pride. Just do this with your pride. Just stomp on it and spit on it. And just throw yourself on the ground before the Lord and say, God, have mercy on me. King Agrippa said almost. Didn't he? Wouldn't it be an awful thing for you to end up in hell and the thing that kept you from heaven You know the thing that keeps most people responding to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm convinced the biggest thing that keeps people back, the greatest tool of the devil, is pride. What will people think? You won't care what anyone thinks after 1 minute in hell or 1 minute in heaven. You're not going to care. Either way, wherever you go for all eternity, you're not going to care what anyone thought. You're going to wish you had you could go back there and say, forget it. I'm going to throw myself down. I'm just going to ask Jesus to save me. Or you're going to go back there and say, praise God, I don't care what anyone thought of. They may have thought I was the biggest fool on earth, but I'm in heaven now. That's what's important, folks. Junk your pride. If you need to be saved, today is the day for you to repent and turn to Jesus by faith and receive him as your Lord and Savior. And if you do that, on the warrant of Scripture, he said he will breathe from heaven and birth a new creature in you, and he'll move in, he'll do a washing of regeneration and a renewing of the Holy Ghost in you, and he will change you. Let's pray, and then I think we'll have a hymn of invitation this morning. We'll probably sing, Come to the Saviour, Make No Delay. What is that song? Someone find that for me. Let's have a word of prayer. My Lord, I thank you for the word. How precious the Bible is. And Lord, I feel constrained in my soul this morning that the Holy Spirit is dealing with somebody here today. And my Lord, I pray. Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, plead in his blood and his righteousness alone, might you be pleased to have mercy on the lost souls that are with us this morning. Lord, I thank you for the unusual stillness. Oh Lord, how I pray that you be honored and glorified, and the devil would get no victory today. Lord, I pray for those of us that are saved, I pray that you'd take the message and remind us of what you've done for us. How grateful I am for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Help us now as we are about to stand and sing a hymn of invitation. Lord, help us. May the Spirit of God have liberty to move. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.